Lucas Van Ness and Jack Campbell were first rounders. Who's the next Iowa Hawkeye first rounder? We'll talk about it today. And some buzz in the portal as Iowa lost out on one of their top targets, AJ Henning. The rumblings are out there. What is Iowa doing at wide receiver? We'll talk about it today on Locked On Hawkeyes.
Our Locked On Hawkeyes, your daily podcast on the Iowa Hawkeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in. I'm Trent Condon, and this is the Locked On Hawkeyes podcast. Thanks for making Locked On Hawkeyes your first listen every day across the Locked On Network, where it is your team every day. Hey, if you have a moment, you're watching us on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. Just takes a second. And if you're on the podcast side, five-star reviews, that's what we're looking for. Helps us get in front of more Hawkeye fans. Well, a very intriguing NFL draft is in the rearview mirror. We heard Jack Campbell hear his name called a surprise to many in the first round. Though I told you I thought it was going to happen not at 18, a little bit later in the first round. That came to fruition. Of course, no surprise. Lucas Van Ness, he goes number one and number 13 overall to the Green Bay Packers. But the question becomes, who is next for the Iowa Hawkeyes? Who is going to be the first name that hears their name called in the NFL draft? We'll talk about that today. Some transfer portal buzz as well, both on the football side and the basketball side. Is Fran McCaffrey done? We'll get into that here today. Let's kick things off in the question. It comes out every year right after the draft is done. Who's next? And when we look at this Iowa football team, an incredibly deep and talented football team, and maybe on paper, as good as Iowa has been coming into a season since the last 4 or 5 years. I think there is that much talent on this team. I think there is high upside. The schedule sets up incredibly well, and there's, yes, more NFL talent. You have to start the conversation with Cooper DeJean. Cooper DeJean came in on the national scene pretty unheralded. You know, he wasn't a guy that was talked about in some of the top level. People wondered what he was going to be at the next level. If you remember in high school at Odebelt Arthur Battle Creek, Ida Grove, played quarterback, played defense, returned kicks, did a little bit of everything. And of course, some people were wondering, well, can he play quarterback at this level? That was never part of the recruiting pitch from the University of Iowa. They were going to find a home for him defensively. It looked like it was going to be at safety. In fact, that's where he began his career as a safety, learned the cash position. He was there under a couple of good guys that we've seen here recently, and then had to move over to the cornerback spot. So it bears repeating. Every day, as you'll know this, I absolutely am enthralled with the story of Cooper DeJean. He played a lot of positions in high school. Played defense, played offense, run the quarterback, doing everything. But he'd never played cornerback before. He was a safety. At the high school level, and especially down to the 1A or 2A level, a lot of times those safeties are, for all intents and purposes, they are glorified linebackers. Well, it gets late in the season, his freshman year, 2 years ago, and they're running out of corners. Injuries have hit the team hard. They're looking, they're searching, and hey, let's give Cooper a shot. And what does he do? Well, he goes out there, plays incredibly well, takes over last season, plays at a super high level. They have him at cash. They have him outside a corner. He sticks a corner and becomes an all Big Ten player. A guy that had not even been practicing the position for a year as a true sophomore becomes an all Big Ten player. 5 interceptions a year ago. 3 interceptions returned, 4 touchdowns. 75 tackles, 3 tackles for a loss. You look at the statistics, they're incredible. Here's another number. This is from Pro Football Focus. A year ago, as a slot corner, he was the best slot cornerback in the country. Throws against him at 11.1 rating. In college football, that is unheard of. But that is the type of talent that we're talking about. But it's one thing to be talented. It's one thing to put together good statistical profiles. But what are you going to measure? And that's where Cooper DeJean is going to take it to another level. You have a chance to get into the weight room. You see some pictures in there. You see all the names listed, the guys that are doing the most in terms of the weights, what they're doing in the 3-cone drill, what they're doing in the 40 time. All those different things are listed there. And Cooper DeJean continues to rise up the ranks in that. Just if you have a moment, go on YouTube and type in Cooper DeJean basketball highlights. and you're going to be absolutely wowed. And this is a 6'1 kid drop step dunking on people at the high school level. Look, I played a small conference. Not well, but I played. We didn't have guys that did that. It's unthinkable that that guy with that kind of size was doing what he did as a dunker. That shows you the athleticism that he plays with. I think when we get to after next season, he'll have a decision to be made. I don't think it'll be a very difficult decision because of all the things that he has already shown, what I anticipate he's going to be on a defense that's going to be elite. Once again, he is going to be the headliner. He's going to be the All-American. And his versatility, the ability for him to play at cornerback, at safety, at cash, slot corner, on and on and on, plus the versatility of what he can bring as a returner, it's through the roof. He is going to be a first rounder. He is going to depart after just three seasons. And much we talked about Lucas Van Ness, felt like we were a little bit robbed. This is different because we're going to see Cooper DeJean out there a whole lot more. Now, could we use a little bit of help at that cornerback spot? I don't think there's any doubt about it. The cornerback, they're looking at depth, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more. But at this point, right now, Cooper DeJean is on his way from hearing the next Iowa Hawkeye to be selected in the first round of the draft. Who else on this Iowa roster? We'll get into that as we continue. Plus, the latest from the transfer portal. A little bit concerning what is happening inside the portal. We'll do that as we continue on Locked On Hawkeyes. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel. Time to make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs. Right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. I love using FanDuel. So many different things that you can bet on. They already got numbers out there for next college basketball season, next college football season. They had game lines out there. Iowa opened up as a slight favorite against Iowa State. Now that thing was a pick'em at the last check. You can get in the action already. Some big games out there. Future betting. Who's going to win the Big Ten? On and on and on. They have you covered at FanDuel. And you can get paid instantly. Have to love that. Hey, as a longtime sports wager and somebody maybe did it before it was legal here in the state of Iowa, getting those paydays could be a little bit difficult. Not the case with FanDuel. In fact, I cashed out a little bit not too long ago. Got it very quickly. No better place to bet on all the playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon and get that no sweat first bet up to $1,000. FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Trent Cotton back with you once again here on the Locked On Hawkeyes podcast. As always, thanks for making Locked On Hawkeyes your first listen every day. Every dayers tomorrow on the show, we got a lot more basketball to talk about as well. And we're going to get into a couple of names here. Going to dig a little bit in and see what is happening, if anything, in the portal for basketball. Back to football, though, right now. Let's get into what we know and what we're looking at going forward with this Iowa football team. We talked about Cooper DeJean and his ability and what he is going to be going into next year's draft. Some of the other names, though, definitely to keep an eye on. And I think one of the more intriguing ones is Eric Aull, a guy that you heard nothing but glowing reviews from him during spring practice, still working his way back after the back surgery, but I think a little bit further along than the Hawkeye staff was even anticipating for him. He's a big time target. He's got the size. He's got the versatility. He is not strictly the inline guy. That's a blocker, and that's all he can do. You can flex him out. And we have concerns at the X position with him and Lachey back there. I think a big opportunity for them do what they did a lot last year with Sam Laporta, having with the two tight ends now an ability to take one of them out, make them a big wide receiver, put them at the X position at times and do some things that way. Is it the best scenario? No, you'd love to have a big X receiver that you can count on, but in Iowa's scheme, that's going to work. Plus a third tight end is going to make that a little bit easier. But those two guys, I think, are going to hear their name called. Now, Lachey could still come back for another season. He's getting up there, though. I anticipate he's probably going to be one of those mid-round draft picks. Lachey, a guy that athletically, too, I think is putting it all together. It just, we see the growth of Luke Lachey. He is your standard Iowa football story, right? Puts in the work. You see some of the ability early on. Just keeps building, and he's building to turn himself into an NFL player. Those are two guys you got to put out there. Another one, and maybe the chance of the highest upside. Look, I don't know if Eric Gall is going to have the measurables they look at to be a first round tight end. I think that's going to be difficult in terms of production because you have two real good ones. I don't think you're going to see the production where either of those two guys is going to go out, catch 65 balls this year for 800 yards and 7 touchdowns. I don't think that's going to happen. It could. And let's hope I'm wrong and both those guys do that this year. But the guy that I think maybe could sneak into the first round next season, along with Cooper DeJean, is Deontay Craig. Now, we have seen Deontay just in limited roles. He has been a pass rush specialist. That has been really his designation. We've seen a little bit more. We saw 2 years ago, that's basically all he was. Last season, he became more of a three-down player. And now, though he doesn't have to play three downs because of the depth of this defensive line, speed off the edge. He is one of the quickest off the ball that Iowa has. The long arms, that is something we hear about arm length a lot as it pertains to offensive linemen and particularly offensive tackles. Deontay Craig, I want to see what those measurements are with his frame because it looks like he's got those long, long arms. He can get out there, good separation, a good punch to him, and still developing because of his size, because of his speed, because of his ability to get to the quarterback. If there is a guy kind of off the radar that could sneak into the first round, I would put my money on Deontay Craig. And then he got the depth of that defensive line. The Logan Lees, the Noah Shannons, Joe Evans, both those guys coming back for a 6-year, using their COVID year to come back for another year. I think all three of them have an opportunity to hear their name called in the NFL draft. Nick Jackson, I still want to see Nick Jackson. I've seen some highlight tapes, but just to see what he translates as he makes his way in after he finishes up his studies at Virginia, the grad transfer who will come in with 1 year of eligibility. He was a tackling machine at Virginia, but again, highlights, a little bit different to see what it is in comparison to a guy that you're watching out there. And he's going to be out there basically every snap. I mean, we talk about the depth of the defensive line and what a great ability that's going to be. Not going to be the case at the same level, certainly, and the linebacking core. It's going to be a lot of Nick Jackson, a lot of Jay Higgins, and then kind of figuring out what's happening at Leo. I would say that Shire is probably the guy that I would put my money on from what I have heard, but three guys really battling through there for that final position in the linebacker group when they're not playing cash, and they'll play a lot more cash. We'll talk about the reason I think you're going to see even more cash coming up this season. We'll get into that here in the coming days for you everydayers, and we greatly appreciate you. Hey, one other name we got to throw in there for next year's draft. We saw kickers and punters go again this year. What about Torrey Taylor? We know about the strong leg. We know about the accuracy, the way, and his ability to pin teams deep. How many points has he given the Iowa Hawkeyes over the last couple of seasons because of his punting ability? First, to be an NFL punter, you have to have an incredibly strong leg. He has that, check. Secondly, you have to be able to positionally punt. He's got that, check. And he takes it to another level. Will it be 6th, 7th round? More than anything, we know Torrey Taylor is going to have an opportunity at the next level. And we have seen what a punt god he has been for the Hawkeyes throughout the year. So those are some names right there. Cade McNamara, he would be draft eligible. In fact, he's draft eligible right now. It would take some kind of monster season for that. Just doesn't have the measurables that they look at for an NFL quarterback. But we know what an upgrade we're getting at that quarterback position. And one of the reasons I am so high on this Iowa football team. Well, they're still looking for more. They're looking to bolster the wide receiver room. They're looking to bolster the cornerback position. We'll get into that next. Iowa with an offer out and a visit set up at the cornerback spot for the transfer portal. What's happening at the wide receiver position? We do that as we continue here on Locked On Hawkeyes. Trent Condon back with you one final time on the Locked On Hawkeyes podcast. Thanks for making Locked On Hawkeyes your first listen every day. Hit that subscribe button if you're on YouTube, if you're on the podcast side. 5-star reviews. The algorithms, they love it. Just keep hitting that and help us out as we make our way up the charts and get in front of you, your team, every day here on the Locked On Network. So as we look at the portal buzz, let's start at the cornerback position. And I've gotten this question a couple of times. You can follow me on Twitter at Trent Condon. Hit the comment section up on YouTube. Love reading through what everybody says there. And if you're an everydayer, hey, give a shout out there. We'll give you a shout out here on air. But one of the questions I get is, why cornerback? Why is this a position of need? And it's a depth thing. And we talked about Cooper DeJean 2 years ago. He was thrust there to a spot he never played before because they didn't have the same kind of depth. Injuries hit them in a big time way. Jamari Harris making his way back, that's a big thing. I mean, you got to be happy to see Harris back out there. We'll see. Felt like they were definitely treating him during the spring with some kid gloves. He was not out there a ton at that point in time, but you definitely look at him as a guy that you feel locked in with him and Cooper DeJean. But then what after that? That remains the great question. We saw a year ago, TJ Hall wasn't ready. Now, is he going to get better? I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think he's going to be very solid, and he's going to turn into a very good player by the end of his career. That's going to be a big part of this. But they're looking at depth, and the name that they're looking at right now, out of Rhode Island, making his way up from the FCS ranks, and that is Antonio Carter II. So a lot of big names after him as well. The SEC's involved, the Big Ten's involved, Wisconsin, Iowa, a couple of the SEC schools. He does have a visit, though, set up. Now, here's something that I think is really, really incredible to see. We saw Sebastian Castro last year playing that cash position, and he's pretty good at it. Had some deficiencies, maybe not quite the corner guy you want. I believe if they would get Antonio Carter, he would be a starting cornerback. Again, as he translates, if he makes the jump, all those things. I mean, throw all the caveats in there that you want. I get it. But if he's ready, he shows himself in August camp that he is absolutely a guy that they can count on, and they feel great about Harris and his health coming back, I anticipate you're going to see Cooper DeJean move to that cash position. That means Castro bumps back to safety, probably a backup, and he can play a bunch of different spots. But I anticipate that's what they do. Certainly, if it's Carter or somebody else at the cornerback spot, and I think that's the reason. They know how important Cooper DeJean is and what he can do if he's playing that cash position. I think they believe he would be even more impactful to this team defensively, even at that position. It's been a huge part of what Iowa's done as they have evolved and changed over the last 4 or 5 years. Big parts of it. You think of Dane Belton. He was great. They played some different kind of guys there. I think their prototype, though, is absolutely Cooper DeJean. So I think that's the reasoning behind it. I believe that's the reason that Iowa continues to work very hard. And the young guys, they just feel like they need a little bit more time. Of course, the other big question is wide receiver in the transfer portal, what they're doing there. So AJ Henning from Michigan, obviously the connection to Cade McNamara and Eric All, you start right there. The ability of him to take the top off. Iowa does not have that kind of speed really anywhere in the wide receiver room. Nico Ragaini is what he is, right? He's a guy, can make some catches underneath, had the big play against Penn State. He is not a blow the top off guy. Some of the young players that we've heard about, Deontay Vines, he has not shown that ability yet. Jacob Bostic, we haven't seen him because he hasn't been healthy. Even bringing in Seth Anderson, you know, a smaller type receiver. When you hear about him, it's more about route running, precision, underneath. That is more what you hear out of Seth Anderson. They don't have that speedster. Well, there was a tweet earlier today that AJ Henning was going to Northwestern. Back in the wintertime, that was heavily rumored. That was going to be his destination. He was going to enter the portal. That was going to be the case. After going through spring practice, he saw he was not a big part of their plans at the wide receiver position, something he wanted to add to his portfolio, giving himself a chance at the next level. That didn't play out. He re-enters the portal. Iowa was involved right away. Louisville, another one of the teams that was talked about. Didn't hear much initially about Northwestern. Looks like they're back in. Now, that tweet that was out there saying that he was committing to Northwestern, that has since been deleted. So maybe don't read into it too much or go too overboard, if you will, about what it is. But we know they need wide receiver. If it's not AJ Henning, some of the other names that are out there, there's a couple of other ones. Mentioned the kid from Cal, Pennsylvania, that's out there. They're still searching. They're still working. That is good news because they just can't go into the season with three freshmen that have varying degrees of reliability. Alex Mota, great track prospect. If you saw him in the Drake relays last week, your eyes were open. He's got speed. Still got a lot of work to do developmentally. Dayton Howard out of Kansas City, big target. He's that X receiver, 6'5". Didn't have offers from Kansas or Kansas State. Jerick Bowie, well, he was the lowest rated of those three wide receivers coming in next season. That's what you have coming in. Still keep working. And the good news is Iowa appears to be doing that. On the basketball front in the transfer portal, dead silent. Looking at what next year is going to be, I mean, more than likely, I think on paper, this is your starting lineup. You know, Tony Perkins is going to be the starter at the two. Samford absolutely is going to be a starter. Patrick McCaffrey back at 100% in the right headspace. You hope he's back and he'll be a starter. Ben Cricke, well, he didn't come off the bench. So there's four. And then you anticipate it's going to be DeSante Bowen. Aaron Ulis now at Nebraska. He is committed to the Cornhuskers out of the portal. Starter from a year ago. Need a point guard. And I guess Bowen would be the guy. It's not a very good defensive lineup. Iowa is bad defensively year after year. They're bad last year. And you take away Philip Rabracha for a guy that certainly is not the defender that Rabracha was a year ago. You take out Chris Murray and you put in Patrick McCaffrey. Sanford now a starter instead of Connor McCaffrey. And then you're taking pretty good on-ball defender in Ulis and replacing him with a true sophomore that barely played in DeSante Bowen. That is an awful defensive team. And not nearly the offensive team that they've been the last couple of years. Yikes. This is scary. Yet, yesterday, 7'5 kid from Oral Roberts. He enters the portal. Every day, more and more guys continue to enter the transfer portal. And after Iowa lost out on BJ Mack to South Carolina, it has been crickets. We know the football program's working. Let's hope the same can be said for the basketball program. Your team every day here on the Locked On Network. Thanks for making Locked On Hawkeyes your first listen every day. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to dive a little bit more into that basketball front. Every day, as we got you covered, we'll see some of those prospect names, get them in front of you, and see if we can dig up anything in terms of those portal candidates. How about a couple of more names in the wide receiver? We got that as well for you. All coming up on the Locked On Hawkeyes podcast. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, plus a little baseball. Iowa with a midweek game this week. We'll talk about that in a big series on tap. All come your way on Locked On Hawkeyes. We'll talk to you again soon. Go Hawks.